This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, and we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Two lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. So you guys are nice enough to join us. Let's get on the lines with you guys. We're going to go to Danny in Glastonbury, our resident groupie. What's going on, Danny?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I called last week about my email getting changed my Samsung email.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so first I got the security alert that said my password was changed.
Right, that's normal because you changed it, right?
No, I didn't change it.
Oh.
See, that was the thing. I never changed it.
Mm.
So when I clicked on that window, it says reset your password and recover my Google account.
Mm.
But I never changed the initial password initially.
Mm.
Okay, so then I get the thing that says your Google account was successfully recovered.
Nice.
Now when I try to use that email, whenever I click, now this is a Samsung email, I get a thing that says, unable to sign into your account.
Right.
Please enter your password for the account below to sign in.
Right. Don't use that. Remember? I told you to use the Gmail app.
Right. But I just wanted to give you a little follow-up on what happens. So
yeah.
If I try to type the password where the line is with a little icon blinking for password,
yeah.
It goes immediately to a screen that says, Samsung email would like to read, compose, send, and permanently delete all your emails from Gmail and associate with your personal information on your Google account.
Well, don't do that.
No, I didn't, but I'm saying that. So I've got a deny or an allow box.
Deny.
And I hit deny.
Yeah.
So when I hit deny, then I can never use this email again.
No, you can't use that app. You're using the Samsung app.
The Samsung app.
Yeah, you don't want to use it, right? You just told me.
No, I don't, but I just thought it was interesting that unless you allow them, they won't let you use the app.
Well, that does seem a little draconian, but again, I wouldn't use it. You can get the nice Gmail app.
Right.
Deal with
which is what I also use all the time too.
Yeah, I mean it's the same thing with Facebook, right? They're all trying to interface with your email.
Mm-hmm.
They want to read your contacts. They want to read your email. See who you're associating with. It's none of their business. I mean, Gmail already knows all that. Why do you want two companies to know all that?
Yeah, but I mean, I thought it was something where it said that they want permission to delete all my Gmail information.
Yeah, I think what they really mean is they're going to delete it and then reassociate it and bring it into their their mail client, which again you don't need to use. Just use the Google one.
Okay.
It should be something you could add to your Samsung tablet.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little red M.
Yeah, no, I've had that. The first month I had this, I was just using the Samsung. It didn't dawn on me that I wasn't using Gmail.
Okay.
And then I did the Gmail. Hey, big SpaceX launch this morning.
Did it go? Did it go off?
Yeah, it went off and it landed successfully. But he launched the first bunch of his internet satellites, that Starlink system that he's going to have, the low-orbit satellites for satellite internet.
And that's a good thing. I guess I heard that he got approval to not launch as many as they wanted to make him launch.
Right,
which is
and
even
he's going to launch less and he's going to launch them lower.
Right.
So they'll fall out of orbit earlier and it won't cause any debris.
Okay.
When they, you know, when they stop working, which eventually will happen,
won't cause any debris at all, huh, Danny? They're not going to hit a house or something.
Not too much debris.
Not too much debris.
A little debris is too much.
Yeah. So now we'll have, you're going to have a, Tesla is selling cars, solar shingles. They're getting involved in internet.
And space debris.
And space debris and satellites. And insurance. Wow. He's becoming a conglomerate.
Yeah.
Well, good luck to him.
Okay.
Thanks, Danny.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Yep. Bye-bye. All right, man, not too much debris. I'm not sure I want any debris. We have three lines wide open, guys, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Would you buy your car insurance from your smart car? All right, these cars now are going to know everything about you, right? They're going to know the speed. They're going to know how fast you drive, how fast you brake, whether or not you push the ludicrous speed button or not on your Tesla. And Tesla wants to sell you insurance now. And they're going to know whether or not you crashed into the fire truck with autopilot on or off, so that would be on them. I don't know. I'm sure it'd be a lot cheaper to buy your car insurance from the auto manufacturer. What a great way to augment their income. But there's risk involved too, obviously. Let's go to Bill in Windsor next. Hey, Bill.
Morning. How are you today?
Good, good. How are you, sir?
Good, thanks. I'm calling about a question on WebRoot.
Yes.
I've installed that on three computers with your recommendation. I've had great luck with it.
Good.
So far, it's like 695 scans.
Yeah.
When I go into it, in one place, it says it has 36,339 safe files, and then it's zero malicious. But then when I go into the actual report that you can generate,
mm-hmm.
it's flagged one file that has put it in quarantine.
Hmm.
And it's a photo duplicate scanner, which I've installed at the recommendation of an employee at the Apple store to search for duplicate photos. And when I ran it, it did a good job finding the duplicate photos. I eliminated them, and I haven't run it since. But it seems to have put this file in quarantine.
Right.
So I question if it's a good...
Yes. So here's the thing. Here's the problem with geeks in general. And this is our biggest concern here at Computer Talk, too. When we give people links to things, we're hoping that the links we're giving are safe and vetted links, right? So geeks will recommend all sorts of utilities. I mean, Kaspersky. Kaspersky is a Russian antivirus. That used to be something we'd recommend, right? But then you think about it, you really don't want that on your computer. So same thing with tools like this. Utilities that are put out by who knows who to do what it said it was going to do may do something else too. So WebRoot finds it to be something that may be malicious. I would trust WebRoot.
Okay, I've left it in quarantine, but I'm ready to delete it off it where it says eliminate threat.
I would do that because it could have something malicious about it that you're not aware of and I'm not aware of. I never heard of the tool, but geeks are always quick to recommend utilities because they're just as gullible, geeks are, as anybody else when they want to offer a tool to do this or a tool to do that. They don't really think about where the tool's coming from and what else it could be doing.
Understood.
All right, Bill.
Okay, so if I delete it here out of WebRoot, it's going to take it out of my system on the computer then?
It should, yep.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. I'd like to thank you. Your show is a fantastic help and benefit not only myself, but from listening to all your other callers. So enjoy it.
I'm glad you do. Thanks, Bill.
Take care.
Yep. Bye-bye. So we got four lines wide open, guys. Feel free to get online. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. While we're waiting, I'll bring this up quickly because we're going to go to a quick break. Over 58,000 Android users had stalkerware installed on their phones last year. Now, I only bring this up because Kaspersky is trying to get into our good graces. And if you download Kaspersky onto your Android phone and run it, they're going to show you if you have stalkerware on your phone. Now, what is stalkerware? Well, it is exactly what it sounds like. It's software that maybe your significant other, your boyfriend, your ex-boyfriend, your ex-whatever, has put on your phone to keep an eye on you. Yes, that's pretty creepy. But it is out there, and 58,000 Android users had it installed just last year on their phones. There's also stuff for iOS, Apple. Point is, Kaspersky wants to have you put their antivirus on your phone so it can show you if you got stalkerware or not. The question is, should you do that? And I would say, fine, load Kaspersky, have it scan, and see if it has Stalkerware on it. But then uninstall Kaspersky for the same reasons we talk about uninstalling it on your PC. More additional AV programs are going to offer this as well. They're going to mark Stalkerware properly so you're aware that there is a spyware running on your system. It's legal, right? Stalkerware is also known as spouseware or legal spyware. People also put it on their phones to keep an eye on their kids, their teenage kids, which is a good thing, obviously, to keep an eye on your kid in general, whatever your deal is with your kid. Certain antivirus programs have done a better job of noticing Stalkerware than others, and Kaspersky is trying to get in our good graces and having you, considering we're taking all their software off our PCs, they want you to put it on your phone. So I would use that with a grain of salt if you wanted to load it and have it just do a quick scan and remove it. But again, it's going to scan your phone. But the point is, Stalkerware is something that's out there. It's real. You should be aware of it, especially if you feel that you're in a relationship that's not safe. There's a lot of this software out there that you may not even be aware of. So we'll put a link up here explaining this, and if you you should check it out, and then maybe consider seeing whether or not your phone has this software on it. It's not going to tell you explicitly it's on there. That's the whole point. It kind of hides. Phone lines open for you guys. Feel free to get online. 1-800-966-WTIC 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk. Four lines still open. Feel free to get online, guys. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. While we wait for your calls, I do have some technology news that I want to bring up. And this one's from Krebs on Security, one of my favorite security writers out there. I tried to get him on the show, actually. Have not been able to connect up with him. But this one is kind of illustrates online banking and some of the worries that you may have. So there's a credit union that's suing a fintech giant, Fiserv, over security claims. Basically, a Pennsylvania credit union is suing a financial industry technology giant, alleging that baffling security vulnerabilities in its company's software are wreaking havoc on its customers. The credit union said that the investigation that fueled the lawsuit was prompted by a 2018 Krebs on Security report about glaring security weaknesses in the Fiserv platform that exposed personal and financial details of customers across hundreds of bank websites. So this is a Brookfield, Wisconsin-based company. It's a Fortune 500 company with 24,000 employees, $5.8 billion in earnings. And this credit union is saying, look, we're done. We're suing you. This little credit union has only got $38 million in assets. But basically, the issue is that the security issue is this. The FirstServ platform would let anyone reset the online banking password for a customer just by knowing their account number and the last four digits of their SOC. That's scary. At the time, all that Fiserv required to register for online banking account with Bessemer was an account number and the last four digits. Basically, if you knew those things, you could go ahead and log into somebody else's bank account. They did not impose any kind of rate limiting where there was no lockout enforced by the online banking system to stop unauthorized individuals from using a pure trial and error guessing process, which can easily be automated to gain access to Bessemer's online banking accounts. So this little $38 million credit union is going to go after these guys. I'll put the link up here for you. But this is, again, one of the reasons I don't get involved with online banking. I know how the sausage is made. And read it for yourself. Don't have to listen to me. Read it for yourself. These companies are losing our data like crazy. And we just keep chucking it up there. And we shouldn't be surprised when we see things like this and big companies don't have basic security in place where you only need to know two little pieces of information and there are no lockouts where that you can do trial and error all day long automated by a computer to try to get into your account. That's not a good idea, I would think. So let's get right to your calls. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We're going to go to Mike in Barkhamsted. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, how you doing? Tried to get in last week. I was on hold, but I lost you up here in the mountains. So I want to cut the cable.
Yeah.
So we have we have Charter, and we have their internet. And our first question is, you had a guy on last week who said he was paying $15 a month for the modem, so I'm sure I am.
Oh, yeah.
And you guys, he said he bought a modem for $39 and got rid of hers, and when my wife talked about that to the go-to guy at work when she has an internet problem, he says, oh, no, I looked into that. You got to pay $200 for a modem that's got to send out and receive or whatever. Is that true?
No. Whoever she's talking to needs to call us.
Okay.
You can walk into almost any Staples or any Best Buy, and they'll actually have the modems laid out for you based on the internet provider.
Okay, great. All right, second is I have a broken Fire Stick, so that's how I get a lot of apps and stuff like that.
Yeah, a jailbroken one?
Yes.
Don't do that, Mike.
Why?
Well, look at last week's links. There's an awful lot more that comes along with that Fire Stick where they're stealing a lot more information about you on your network than you think. The reason that stuff is free for you is because the bad guys are doing a whole lot of other nasty things on your network.
Oh, really? So they're taking it off the stick from the TV and going right through the computer, huh?
Yeah, it's in your network. So there are other apps on that Fire Stick that could be, I don't know, hey, Mike's got his computer on. Let's go see what he's doing. Oh, I see. He's online. He's making some trades online. Oh, what's his bank account? Oh, he's logging into his account. Okay, great. That's
really?
Why these things are free for a reason. So don't do that, sir. Don't do that. Oh. You're putting a bad guy literally in your bedroom.
Well, geez, everybody in works did it. We all think we hit a home run. I guess we didn't.
No, you're the suckers. Go to computertalkwithtab.com.
Yeah.
Go find that link and then share it with your friends. And then if they still want to do it, that's their own fault. But don't tell them that we didn't warn you. The reason this stuff is out there is because it's designed for that feeling of, oh, we're beating the man. And basically, you're the man. You're the target.
All right, so if I went out and bought, I have one outside on the porch. I just bought a smart TV.
Yeah.
If I buy a, how can I cut the cable and still get local stations and many channels?
Well, I've gone over to YouTube TV, and
yeah.
That works really well. It's about $49 a month, and
right.
It's got great local channels. I get Nessun. You can get Yes if you want. You can get a lot of great stations. There's actually more stations on that I even need. If they offered a lower version, I'd jump to that myself. But YouTube TV is good. Hulu offers a package. Sling offers packages that give you local stations. But
you couldn't get like 3, 8, or 30 to watch your local news, right?
No, you can. That's what I'm telling you.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, YouTube TV. You put in your zip code, and you're able to watch all your local stations perfectly. And you can get rid of your TV side of things and just use streaming. What's your internet connection? How fast is it?
I'm not sure. We used to have DSL, and it was horrendous.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. I'd have to look. I don't even know that.
All you need to do is get about 50 megabits. So if you're paying for 200 or 300 or some crazy number, when you're talking to these guys as you cut the cable and say you're no longer need TV, ask them for a lower package too.
Okay, great.
All right, Mike.
Thank you very much, and thanks for the heads up on the stick.
Yeah, that thing is not free. You're the commodity, man. You're the guy. You're the guy get that thing out of your house. Unplug it.
Too good to be true.
Of course it is.
Thanks, buddy.
You got it, Mike. Yeah, it's that. We brought it up last week. Tons of malware on those broken, jailbroken sticks. So you're getting your free stuff, thinking you're beating the cable guys, or thinking you're paying, getting a free movie. And it's you. You're the sucker. You're the one that is being victimized by this free box that somebody sold you for $100. So on top of the $100 the guy made who sold it to you, they're trying their best to get into your network and see what else they can get from you, because you literally let the bad guys in the door when you plug that broken, jailbroken device in your network. Nothing is for free. It's the year 2019, guys. Somebody's got to tell you. Heck, my kids came home and told me, hey, UConn, they're offering free tickets to their sporting events. I'm like, guys, every student, 32,000 students, pay them $13 million a year in mandatory fees to the athletic department. Even though now you can get in there for free, you're still paying $432 a year. It's not free. Nothing's free. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Two lines open for you. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Everything we've talked about has been posted by Mike G live for you over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. If you go to Facebook and you like Tab Computer Systems on Facebook, the links might get into your newsfeed if Zuckerberg deems them worthy. And yes, you can follow us on Twitter at Tab Computer Sys. We'll be right back. And we are back. We're here till 11 o'clock. This is Computer Talk. We're here to help you out. Lines are all jammed up. You guys all woke up. We start at 9, you know. But you're here, and we'll do our best to help you. We had a caller calling in about his jailbroken Roku, and I gave him a little bit of a more of a warning, maybe. I was a little harsh. But it's true out there. The Rokus that are out there that are jailbroken, if the hardware isn't laced with malware, this is according to the article we posted last week, the apps are. And basically, their research found that 40% of the apps for these devices were infected with malware that could take over a camera or microphone on the, I'm going to call it Dingaling's network, who put it in their own network, within the first hour. Also, one little other bit of information, you know, you think you're getting this for free, along with the malware and the dark web that you're playing with, the FCC issued an enforcement advisory warning that they're going to fine you $19,639 per day for people selling these devices as well as the people using them. Now, if you recall all the confusion of Napster when Napster came out about, I don't know, 10 years ago, and people were like, geez, it's illegal to copy music like that. And my son got a hit with a $50,000 bill from the the RRCRA, I can't remember what they were called, but the folks who deal with copywritten music, they were all surprised that stealing music was illegal and people might be upset about it. Well, on top of being in the dark web, if you get hit with this fine of $19,639 a day, free just turned a lot more expensive for you. Let's get to your calls. We're going to go to John in West Hartford. Oh, by the way, your kids are coming home from college. They're bringing a lot of them are bringing them these things home with them. Let's go to John in West Hartford. Hey, John, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Well, my son, who lives on the other coast, bought me a Fire Stick as a gift.
Nice.
A little bit. I know that he was kind of throwing me in the water, not knowing how to swim. But because once I put that in, then I had to figure out how to get a an antenna and all that stuff. I get an antenna. But because my TV was too old, it couldn't scan, so I had to buy a new TV.
All right.
And it went on from there.
Yeah.
So now I figured most of that stuff out. Oh, by the way, if you do get one of those Fire Sticks, you got to go through and make sure they don't sell. You check all the boxes off to make sure they don't give all your information away.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
It comes with a default that you have to, they can give everything away. Anyway, I'm trying to figure out whether to get YouTube or Hulu. Mm-hmm. I want to get Netflix. I want to get CNN. I want to get those things. And I notice YouTube's $50 and Hulu is $8. Is there a big difference?
Well, they do. Basically, look at the channels each of them offer. And if Hulu for $8 offers you the channels you want, then, I mean, you know, CNN will appreciate it. You're like one of the other six viewers still they have, but. Sorry, I had to do that. But yeah, you can get Hulu for $8 is a good deal if they have the channel that you want. YouTube TV has got tons of more channels than it should have. They should split that, I think, but they have not done it yet.
Okay, the other question is, how do you get Nessun? Do you get it? Can I get that through Hulu?
Again, look at their offering. You have to look at each offering. YouTube TV offers Nessun, offers Yes, offers a couple of ESPNs, offers Discovery, yeah. Offers Turner Classic Mover. It offers a lot of channels. They went up in price. They were roughly $40, and they went up to $49 in May. So I might cut YouTube TV eventually if they're offering. If they go up too high, I'll go to some other offering eventually.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, they're $40 more than Hulu. So, okay, yeah. I just want to ask that question.
Yeah, yeah, just take a look at their offerings and pick which one you like, and you can cancel them anytime.
Okay, great. Thanks for your help.
You got it, John. All right. So with other cool thing I found with YouTube TV that I'm sure other folks already know is that their movies, they take, like, if Turner Classic Movies has The Hobbit on or something like that, in the old days, you'd have to watch all the commercials, right? The Hobbit would take, you know, 6 hours to watch. With YouTube TV, all the movies that are available on those channels are commercial free. You'll still see the little logo, the TBS logo in the right-hand corner, but there's no commercials. That's kind of neat. I don't know. I like it. I found that yesterday. I was watching 2001 A Space Odyssey, and they didn't open the pod bay doors of that either. Let's go to who's next? Let's go to Herbert in West Hartford next. Hey, Herbert.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a 10-year-plus Gateway laptop that all of a sudden their screen isn't coming up.
Well, 10 years old all of a sudden isn't really all of a sudden anymore, and that's kind of expected.
Right. It says on the bottom about changing a lamp. Is that something expensive?
I don't even know if they'd make the lamp for that 10-year-old laptop. But back in the day, it would have been probably expensive. You have a thought, Bob, on this?
Well, yeah. Changing the lamp is a lot of work. You got to tear the whole thing apart.
Yeah.
And it may not be the lamp. It could be there's a little, it looks like a little stick.
Ribbon. Yeah.
That's, that actually runs the backlight, if you will. So more than likely, that's what it is rather than the lamp.
Yeah, but it's 10 years old. It could be running for, it's been running for a long time. I don't know that I'd spend any money on a 10-year-old laptop.
I'm with you.
So if you have my permission to replace it.
Do you have used ones?
We don't have used ones, but you can buy used ones all over the place.
Yeah.
Don't buy something too old. Look for an i5 processor. Look for at least 8 gigs of RAM. Look for a terabyte hard drive. And try to find one that's not 5 years old already, you know?
I'm understanding.
All right. But don't repair this one. This one goes into the old recycle bin.
Thank you.
You got it, Herbert.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, nothing all of a sudden about that one. So stick around, guys. I'm going to take a quick break. Dr. Alessi's in the green room. He'll be giving you a second opinion on your health advice. So stick around for that. Two lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. So Maggie and Evelyn, hang on. We'll be right back. No rest for the weary, huh, Matt? Just kidding. Back to your calls, guys. We're going to get to your right away because you're nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. We're going to go to, before you're getting out there and mowing your lawn like I am, we're going to go to Maggie in West Hartford. Hey, Maggie.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was interested in your advice on what type of laptop to get.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm an adjunct professor, so most of what I do is I teach online and then, you know, look at through the internet and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that would be, you know, my primary reason for needing it.
Okay. So you don't need a whole lot for that. But I would still get a machine that has the capabilities that if you do decide to do a little more with the laptop, you have the ability to.
Yes.
So an i5 processor is your minimum processor, 2 to 4 cores. 2.5 gigahertz is a good speed, 3 gigahertz, whatever's out there for the i5 in that range, 2.5 to 3 would be nice. 8 gigs of RAM would be a good thing to look for. And you're going to love a solid state hard drive for boot up performance. You don't need a lot of space. So a small 256 solid state drive, I think would be worth the investment because obviously your time is valuable. And if your machine boots up in seconds, you'd appreciate it.
Exactly.
So, and maybe a 15-inch display, so it's not, you know, too small but not too large, so it can still be portable. Those are the basics.
And what do you have a certain brand you recommend more than another?
We're HP partners at TAB, so we're fans of HP. We would also recommend Intel processors, even though Intel lately has had a hard time getting the processors manufactured. There's a lot of upset Mac users who can't get the Intel processors for their MacBooks. We've been cranky about it too, but on that point, look for an 8th gen CPU. If you can get a 9th gen, that'd be great too, but don't get an older gen processor. 8th or 9th gen. The 9th you're going to have probably not going to find anywhere, but the 8th is a very, very fast processor.
Okay. And where do I get these? Where do you recommend?
Well, it's up to you. I mean, you can support the local economy by going to a local, you know, big box store or a Staples or something like that.
And, oh, okay.
You know, see what they've got on hand with similar specs. You can buy online, too. It's up to you. But I like to kind of see what I'm picking up.
I do, too. And I like to be able to go back if there is any issue, at least have somebody.
Yeah. And at least with a Staples, if you consider Staples, they're going to be more of a business-oriented offering, I think.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Maggie. Okay. Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Let's go on to Evelyn in Southington doing the same thing. Hey, Evelyn.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I have a question. My daughter's going to college in the fall, and I just heard you talking on HP on the last caller.
Mm-hmm.
What would you recommend? She's looking at Mac versus HP, and other than the cost, what would be the benefits of one over the other, or any thoughts on that?
Well, I got a son going to college, too, all three of my kids. I all went to UConn, and we picked up HP Envys. Kids like the larger screens of the PC, 17-inch screen, i7 processor, and a solid-state drive. It's worked well for my kids. The price point is around $800, so they were able to use those laptops. For as far as if they want to go Mac or PC, it's really the user's preference. If your daughter's going to go to school for graphic design, and they're going to use Macs as part of that process, then she should consider that. If she's going to go into the business world, the PC is the way to go. That's the machine she's going to come across when she gets out. So far, Mr. Gates is still winning. It's a Windows world when it comes to the business world. If she's going to be graphic designer, artist, and marketing, Mac is known more for that, and that might make sense for her. So it really comes down to what she's deciding to do. Does she know what she's going to do?
Yes, it's international relations, political science, so that type of thing. And I was just questioning about, well, she has an iPhone. Would there be any benefit of getting a Mac for that?
No.
Or does it matter?
It doesn't matter. I don't think there's no interface that I can think of that the Mac offers with the iPhone that she would care about.
Okay, so HP Envy, a bigger screen.
Yeah, 17-inch screen.
I7 processor.
Yep.
Okay.
Solid State Drive.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Evelyn.
Okay, bye now.
Bye-bye. The one thing you got to remember, because my own kid did it to me, he's called me up first semester. This is my middle kid. And he's like, Dad, the laptop's not working. And he's an hour away. So my wife's like, Eric, we got to go up and help him. You're the IT guy. I got in the car. It's like 4:00 p.m., 5:00 p.m. on a Saturday, drive up there, figure out why his brand new laptop's not working. You got to charge it. Just a little tip. You got to charge it. You can't charge it for 20 seconds. You can't expect the laptop to be uncharged and then just not, you know, the display may not work. You know, it needs some juice. So just make sure you tell your kids. For some reason, these kids think things charge in like 20 seconds. I mean, we grew up in a time when batteries weren't rechargeable. These kids think everything's happening instantly. So just make sure your kids charge the laptop and keep it charged. So it'll work better. I promise it'll work better. Let's go to Mary Lou in Windsor. Hey, Mary Lou.
Hello.
Hello.
I came in late to your conversation about cutting the cable TV.
Yeah.
But you've been talking about people putting in these Fire Sticks and Roku Sticks.
The jailbroken ones.
Okay. Now, Sling has an offer right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you sign up and prepay, you can get a free Roku stick.
That's perfect. That's going to be a legitimate stick.
Okay, because I've got two smart TVs and one that's an older one.
Sure.
So that would work out perfect for me. But yep. I just wanted to double check with you.
Yeah, yeah. Fire Sticks are fine. I run the NVIDIA Shield. That's my device.
Is AirPlay any better? Is there any advantage to that?
If you're already part of the Apple ecosphere, there could be an advantage to it. Otherwise, it's just another streaming device.
Right. Okay.
All right, Mary Lou.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, stay away from the jailbroken ones. It's the ones that cost you $100 at a flea market that some guy, you know, the old days when they opened up the trench coat with the watches? Now they're opening them up with $100 fire sticks. And basically, you're literally bringing the bad guys into your house. You're not getting anything for free. They're turning on the microphones in your house. They're turning on cameras. They're loading malware on your network. You're watching Avengers Endgame for free, you think, but you're really not. And you're going to get fined $19,000 a day once they catch you. And you know how hard it is to catch you? Not very. That little Fire Stick has a little MAC address, right? So it's a little scan on the network that the bad guys are using as well to find you. Just think about that, guys. It's already known. The fine is in the mail. We're going to go to Al in Windsor Locks. Hey, Al.
Hi, Eric. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I called you a couple weeks ago about two Access files that disappeared off my computer.
Yeah, that was an awful thing.
Yes, I never found them. Oh. However, I was able to download an Excel file into the Access. Okay, it didn't transfer accurately. It come in pieces and discombobulated.
Yeah.
Now, I was able to cut and paste and put that all together.
Wow.
But when I went to try to create a record from that file, it cut off like the first 20 or 30 records.
Oh, boy.
And I don't know. I've tried just about everything, and I don't know what happened.
Hmm. I don't either, Al. I mean, you can add the records manually, can't you?
Tried it. Tried to select it and move it in, and it doesn't seem want to do that.
Hmm. But you can't type the records in? You can't have the blank records and key them in?
I could probably do that.
It's only 20 or 30. You should do that versus trying to automate it. Just key it in. I mean, I don't know how much data that is across how many records, but...
Well, no, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
You know, it's 20 records out of 500 or something like that.
Oh, then you do it. Just key it in and then back it up.
Okay.
Right? Keep backing it up.
Yeah, I do that.
Good.
Now that I've lost.
I know. It's one of those lessons. Sometimes it takes...
It taught me one heck of a good lesson.
Yeah. Back up.
Exactly. Well, thank you very much.
All right, Al. Good luck.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Yeah, sometimes it's easier just to key it in rather than trying to figure out how to automate the process. There might be something damaged in the Excel file. It's not worth trying to figure out where maybe a bad character. It's not coming in. Just key it. Let's go to Chris in Glastonbury. Hey, Chris.
Hi. I just have a quick question about the little... printers that look about the size of a phone. They print the pictures from your phone.
Yeah.
And HP makes one. I guess, I don't know, they're Apple. I'm sorry, I don't have the article I read in front of me in the Wall Street Journal. But I wondered what you thought of them and if you were still leaning toward HP for something like that as well.
Yeah, HP's been making printers forever. So it's a good thing. I'm not sure why we sound so weird. I'm going to blame our engineer, Matt. But HP's been making printers forever. And John Ryan is going to be on our show on May 18th. He's our digital camera expert. And he might be able to give you some more advice on it. But, you know, I would always angle toward a printing company for printing things. So, I mean, I'm not sure how much it's going to cost you per print. It might be easier to just send it to Walgreens or CVS. But
oh, right. I know the printers are around $100 to $150 themselves.
Mm-hmm. It's the ink.
But, yeah.
Yeah, be careful with the ink. You might be like, boy, why did I get this thing?
Right. Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Chris. Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. So, yeah, John Ryan will be on the 18th. That's the plan. We'll talk about digital cameras. Everything we've talked about today has been posted live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. Mike G has been posting feverishly. If you go over to ComputerTalkWithTab.com or the name of the show.com, that also works. I wanted to bring this up really quick. This is kind of a weird, creepy story. You know how I like those stories. This is Amazon. They bought Ring, right? They bought Ring, which is a doorbell camera, for $1 billion. That's fine. You can... I like doorbell cameras. I told you my story, although I didn't go with Ring because it has a monthly cost. But Amazon is now hiring editors. Why would Amazon hire editors to push local crime news to its users? So what it's doing is it's hiring a managing editor, because you can have these Ring doorbell systems and you can be part of kind of a group of other doorbells in the area. And these managing editors will start sending out news feeds about just the scary crime in your neighborhood. Like somebody walked by your doorbell without pushing it. Not like a ding-dong ditcher, but just somebody walked by. Maybe it was a gas meter guy. But these guys are trying to scare your friends and neighbors into thinking your neighborhood is a crime-ridden, horrible place to live. And, I mean, it's kind of what TV news has done forever. I mean, we think we're in such a horrible country with such nastiness going on, but believe it or not, crime rates have dropped, even here in Connecticut. But I'll put this link out here for you. You should read through it. It's a little creepy that Amazon would hire a news editor to sell you a doorbell camera. But you got to be pretty cynical, I guess, to sell your doorbell cameras. And, of course, Amazon also owns the Washington Post. So they have access to all sorts of news media editors. But check it out. Something that is a little troubling. And it should add some perspective that some of the stuff you're getting is probably not as scary as it is. Stick around. Dr. Alessi's going to be up next. He's going to give you a second opinion on your health advice with Healthy Rounds. And I want to thank Mike G for doing everything he's done for us today, posting everything live. I want to thank Matt for producing, and Bob.
See you next week.
All right. We'll be right back.